This is Scott Becker with Becker's Healthcare. I'm thrilled today to be joined by a true leader, Jay Batt. Jay is a Senior Vice President, Chief Medical Officer at the AHA. He's also in charge of the Health Research and Educational Trust, just really a brilliant and good person. Jay, can you take a moment and introduce yourself and thank you?
Great. Thank you so much, Scott. Really appreciate your leadership and the opportunity to have this conversation with you. I've really been admiring the work that you've done, and you're bringing great voices into the conversation at a time where we need it to redesign healthcare. So thank you. I'm Jay, and I'm the son of two South Asian immigrants. My dad, a pharmacist on the south side of Chicago for most of his life, my mom, a factory worker. And I've been now at the AHA a little over 3 years in my role, and it's been just a great ride. And I'm involved in the community, helping a city I love and care about. Formerly was the Managing Deputy Commissioner and Chief Innovation Officer at the Chicago Department of Public Health. So I think a lot about the intersection of public health and healthcare delivery. I'm a practicing internist and geriatrician, and my patients affectionately call me the dancing doctor.
And they call you the dancing doctor?
Yes.
And tell us about that, and also tell me if I mispronounced your last name. I've seen your name for years. I've known you on and off, but do feel free to correct me too.
You got it just right. Thanks, Bot. Is my last name, and we're from the Midwest part of India, and my dad immigrated here in 75 and really just built his life by commitment to the community and hard work. And so, you know, the dancing doctor piece comes from, I was thinking about this question about what matters to you as a question that I asked my patients when I was in a trainee in Boston, and a Brazilian patient who had failing kidneys was just in a lot of trouble, and for his spirit was down, and we were trying to make him better. And when I talked to him, you know, dance and music were really important to him. And so with his family at the bedside, I started dancing with him and for him. And over the course of several weeks, he ended up doing better. And I think part of it was also the spirit, and he was reconnected to things that were important to him. And I think that that's just so important in our healthcare environment today is that this notion of patient and family preferences and really trying to design care that is oriented around what matters to people. And so I teach a class here in Chicago, but also have taught in Boston. So some of the patients of mine come, as well as community members. And so it's really been a place where there's people who feel socially isolated that have found connection, people that have engage in preventive care that otherwise wouldn't have, and also have, you know, gotten a smile and built up their dance moves. It's been just really fun.
That's fantastic. The American Hospital Association, the AHA, in my view, from my perspective, has become over the last decade to two a better and better organization. It's one where if 10 years ago, 15 years ago, there were different turf battles amongst communities within the AHA, there seems to be less of that and more about common mission, common goals. How do you think about that? How do you think about the goals and issues serving the community as part of the AHA? And how has the AHA become so much better over the last couple of decades?
I appreciate that, Scott. And I would agree that the AHA has just, over the last several years, been really redesigning in a way that best meets the needs of its members and communities. And I think it starts with leadership at the top. And I think Rick Pollack has done a fantastic job along with our COO, Mary Jane Wirth, as well as the team. And that includes our board of trustees who have provided incredible guidance, have continued to push us and ask the right questions. And I think there's this notion, you know, that in order for us to make progress in healthcare and in health, we got to play for each other. And the AHA vision is one of a society of healthy communities where all individuals reach their highest potential for health. Now, you know, that's a vision I can sign up for. And I think that's really what we've been trying to live for and with our members. And it's, you know, fortunate to have a team that works together, that lifts each other up. And we're able to challenge our own conventional wisdom about the way things used to be. So as Rick likes to say, it's not your grandfather's Oldsmobile anymore. And we're not only helping the field redesign their organizations meet the needs of communities, but we're also redesigning ours and asking the same sorts of questions. And I think we've made tremendous progress. We are anchored around a set of commitments to help realize the vision, and that includes access. Access to affordable, equitable health, behavioral and social services, focusing on holistic well-being in partnership with community services, that's the health part, and then innovation, seamless care propelled by teams, tech, innovation, and data, and affordability, the best care that adds value to lives. And HA has a rich history of success in advocating for members. That's critically important. We continue that, but do that certainly with partners and in areas we might not have in the past. And I think one thing that we've done really well is also orient around innovation. We know that innovation and integration will be key themes. And so not only do we provide leadership and advocacy and policy, we help transfer knowledge, thought leadership opportunities, and being an agent of change. I think that that's really key. And so I think it's an exciting time to be at the AHA. And a major driver of our work over the last year has been a new effort driving an agenda for innovation and transformation. And through this, we're addressing strategic priority issues through our synthesized work of public policy, field engagement, and innovation. And so just as our members are changing, so too is the AHA.
Thank you. And I watched what you said, and it's fascinating for me to watch. Rick is fascinating that he really has been a force for how positively the AHA can impact healthcare in communities. I mean, it's a very thoughtful approach. It's a very deliberate approach. And quite frankly, it's very noticeable. As I talk to different AHA leaders, people that have served as chair of the AHA over the last decade, and what a positive impact the AHA has had as sort of a bringing together of healthcare in the country and of hospital associations. And that's sort of a very different role than I think many perceived it 10, 15 years ago, when at times it was fighting different fights, battling with different constituents. Now it seems like it really is coalescing around how could it be a force for positiveness. And I think it's noticeable under the last years of Rich Umberstock's leadership, and it certainly is very noticeable under Rick and your whole team's leadership, how much of a positive force it is on so many different issues. And it's a fascinating evolution to watch as an outsider watching it develop and grow after a long, rich history, but such a positive force today and such great leadership. Speaking of leadership, when you look at leaderships throughout healthcare, there's so many great examples of people that are leaders that can make great decisions, but that are good, good people. Give us an example of what a healthcare leader has to be today. Talk a little bit about that. What does a healthcare leader have to be today?
One of the areas that I've been so fortunate is being with leaders that have helped me challenge my own leadership, and that includes Commissioner Bashar Shuker when he was here in Chicago, and then also our EVP and COO, Mary Jane Wirth, who's been a guiding force in positioning the AHA as a leader for innovation change with Rick. And I think one of the things that I learned from her is this notion of really curiosity and asking the question, challenging conventional wisdom and saying, you know, what is the right questions to ask? And are we going to come back to the same answer or to a different answer? We won't know if we don't ask the question. And I think the healthcare leader of today has to be emotionally intelligent, nimble, curious, creative, and collaborative. We've got to navigate the new healthcare environment and competitive landscape, expand innovation capacity, affect positive organizational change, drive digital transformation, and lead the shift from healthcare to wellcare. And I think how leaders show up every day as a result of noticing, learning, practicing and embracing our own fears, mistakes, and vulnerability is critically important.
Let me ask you a question. You see this attitude in leadership today so clear in people like, well, Bernard Tyson just passed away, Nancy Agee, who is a former chair of the AHA, people that are so effusively positive towards other people, but also bright as heck and willing to make tough decisions and make big decisions. How important is that likability to being a great leader today? Is it more important than ever before, together with clarity of vision and so forth? What makes a great leader today?
Yeah, so I think some of the individuals you just outlined are great examples of individuals that have clarity of vision, but also can understand where the puck's going, how things are evolving and changing, and take that into consideration. And you've had recently Gene Woods on your podcast from Atrium Health, and he was an AHA board chair. And I think, you know, he talks about this sort of opportunity where you bring the best of your humanity and empathy and vulnerability to every interaction. And I think, you know, leaders today allow for emotion and connection and debate to exist in a room so collectively the team can get to a better place. And I think valuing diversity, inclusion, and perspective, I think is critically important. And then I think that those who are in touch with the lived experience of people, those that are experiencing not only in their own families, but with those that they care for in their communities, the challenges of the system, I think that insight and doing that on a regular basis has been critically important, I think, to envisioning a future that gets to the kind of care that we want to see in this country.
I think it's so interesting to me, this evolution in leadership. Today, especially as there's a shortage of great people in every organization versus surpluses, and people are constantly trying to make sure that they're recruiting and retaining great people. But great people today aren't just highly competent people. They're people with these great human skills, this great empathy that you talk about. And you see it more and more in great leaders. It used to be that you could be a top-down sort of order giver. Now, more and more of these great leaders are, yes, they make great decisions. Yes, they see where things are going. They have great vision. But they're also, they have to be more and more wonderful human beings to be able to retain and grow great teams. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, I would agree. I think you want to show up in the best way possible. And I think it starts with a common humanity. And that common humanity not only helps teams work effectively together, but honors the imperfections we have, the experiences that we bring, but also gives folks a chance to grow and develop and work together so that you cut past some of the challenges in having difficult conversations. And I think that it brings people with diverse views together in a space where they can make progress towards common goals.
Fascinating. Now, you handle a number of different roles. You're a clinician. You're also a leader. You also run the Center for Innovation. You've got a number of different roles. What do you love most about what you do? Or what are the couple things that you enjoy the most about what you do?
For me, it's seeing our members come together in the field and make progress on various issues. So one that we're working on now is our age-friendly health system. And we started with 26 pilot sites that we're deploying a model called the 4 M's, mentation, mobility, medication management, and what matters to you. And now we're at 350 sites across 42 states. And we do this in partnership with the John A. Hartford Foundation and the Institute for Healthcare Improvement, the Catholic Health Association. I think that kind of movement and groundswell to improve care for older adults is really exciting. And similarly, we've done work on quality and safety, where we've got over 1,600 hospitals in 34 states that have, you know, saved 14,000 lives and $1 billion in cost. And I think that, you know, we're seeing this notion that before folks thought zero for some period of time was impossible. We're seeing catheter-based infections not exist for 4 years, or a million transfusions without a mismatch. And you could go down the list, and which is, I think, incredibly inspiring. And the other piece I would say is working with the team to help organizations in the field transition. You know, I think the challenge we have is we've got to perform while we're transforming. And that takes a partnership. It takes creating sort of glide paths and helping the field get from where they are as an organization to the next place. And that's, I think, really exciting work.
Well, it's fascinating perspective. I mean, there's sort of like, one is the crazy improvements in patient safety, patient experience, and quality, things that were unheard of years ago, actually getting to zero in a number of places in terms of infections and bad outcomes and problems. And then second, this constant effort at dual tracking, which is keep on doing what you're doing while making these transformations. So a great perspective. Jay, I wanted to touch on a couple more questions, and just we've got a little bit of time left. Think short answers is great. But I know one of the things you love most about what you do, and it's very reflective of how the AHA has evolved, is you work with sort of the physician alliance efforts. Talk to us about that for a moment and why that's so important to you and to the AHA.
One, because we know we can't advance the AHA's vision of a society of healthy communities where all individuals have their highest potential for health without non-clinical and clinical leadership partnering together. And that's really the crux of this effort, that the Alliance's work is framed by three fundamental values that foster shared decision-making and forge a common language among all healthcare leaders. Lead well, be well, care well. So we have emergent experiences, tools, resources, questions with clinician leaders on podcasts, and a whole set of other activities. One that's really been powerful for me that I've actually gone through, and now we have nearly 100 docs across the country that have done it, is our physician leadership experience. That's really addressing the issue of burnout, resiliency, and well-being. And it helps physicians show up in the best way possible, but also understand what's keeping them from achieving their potential. And so it's been a remarkable experience to see how it's changed healthcare leaders and physicians in their work at home, as well as professionally. And so I'm really excited about that work.
Jay, one of the things that strikes me as you talk about the physician alliance is the AHA, if I went back 15, 20 years ago, almost viewed all these other participants in healthcare as sort of necessary parts of the system, but didn't embrace them, you know, almost as a necessary evil. Now the AHA has moved from an insular culture 15, 20 years ago to this great force for positive change in America. It sort of looks at healthcare in a much different way. It looks at it as though, how are we helping healthcare all the way around? And that includes lots of different parties. It includes physicians, it includes nurses, it includes alliances. It includes both sides of the aisle, Republican and Democrat. It's really made an amazing transformation, in my view, over a long period of time. Part of that is Rick Pollack's leadership. Part of that is other leadership from the chair on down of the AHA. How has that happened? How has that evolution happened? And how does the AHA keep that positivity moving in that direction?
Well, I see this in my own observations as a physician and in my own experience. I mean, I feel it and see it, and that transition is critically important, and appreciate your comments on it. I think we all recognize that in order to make the progress we need to improve health and healthcare in this country, and as the AHA likes to talk about it, advancing health in America, we got to play a team sport. And so that's really the work that we've been doing, is bringing the different partners and stakeholders together to make progress on health. And also we've been engaging non-traditional partners, such as the National Urban League and Unidos on our work on equity, as well as other players in innovation. And so I think that that's just a part of the journey in trying to help our members advance health in their communities, and the AHA being a force for positive change in this country.
Finally, Jay, Dr. Bhatt, best advice for people building careers. As you look at people building careers, how do you talk to somebody who's trying to build a career? What advice do you have for them? How would you guide them?
Thank you for that question. I think, one, it's an exciting time to be in healthcare, and I think there's a lot of opportunity. And in just thinking about leadership, I would advise individuals to challenge your own leadership. Take intentional action to question conventional wisdom, your own patterns, observe them, notice them, what is happening also in the system around you. I think come to conversations in your work and interactions with the intention of seeing the best in people and having this humanity show up, because I think that that'll allow conversations to emerge that might not otherwise, that can be helpful to moving progress forward. I think relentlessly pursue the vision with purpose and passion. I mean, the other asks this question about what masks are we wearing? Sometimes, you know, because of the environment, we may conform. And so often for me, it's been helpful to sort of reflect on that process. And then, you know, are we leaving anyone behind? And then importantly, how are we recharging? You know, I'd say for me, it's creating that sort of space for health and energy and my family. That's been really important. But I think there has to be, you know, something that you do that helps you recharge, not looking for the charger when it's 20% or less like we do with our phones, but making sure that we're performing at the best level possible. And so that involves recovery time. And then I think give gratitude. I think praise is connective, joining all that is within us to all that is around us. And I think that when we're seeking ways to praise actively others and other things in our environment, then we become part of a world of celebration instead of sitting alone in a world that often seems as though it might be against us. And so I think that living a life in which we count our blessings and give praise for them ensures that we'll never be far away from a joyful moment. And I've just had a lot of joy in my life, and I'm grateful for that. And but challenges along the way too. And I think there's a lot of learning from those opportunities, and you become a better human being in the process. And so it's about human being and not human doing.
Well, fantastic, Jay. Just what a pleasure. I mean, it's inspiring to talk to you. The people that work with you are fortunate to have you around every day. What a great pleasure. Thank you for taking the time to share some of your thoughts with us today, not just about the AHA, but about living itself. And what a pleasure. Thank you so much.
It's a real pleasure to be in the conversation with you, Scott. Thanks again for all that you do. And this was just a wonderful experience. Appreciate it.